You're listening to the Journey Church Podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now we trust that you're blessed by the following presentation.
You know, the last few weeks we've been talking about just the Holy Spirit and inviting Him into our lives, and I pray that you guys are continuing to do that, just continuing to invite Him to be a part of your lives. I know that's what I'm doing. I believe, you know, that there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this church, and I know with that outpouring that the enemy is not going to like that, that there's going to be some attacks that are going to come in our lives because of us just going after God and us seeking Him. And so I wanted to make sure that we're prepared for what the enemy is going to do. I want, you know, if we recognize that it's the enemy in our lives, sometimes that helps, you know. Like, if we just have things happening all the time, it's kind of like you're going, God, why is all this happening to me? You know, why are all these bad things keep happening? And instead, you know, really what it is it's the enemy. He doesn't like what we're doing. We're actually on the right course, doing the right thing, and the enemy is trying to stop us from doing that, discouraging us. So when those things do happen, just be encouraged, actually, that you're on the right track and you're going the right way, and to keep pushing. And so that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about winning the unseen war, because there is a war going on right now. There's a war in the heavenly realms. We can't see it, but it is going on. It's very real. And so I wanted to be able to talk about this because, you know, it's something, because we can't see it, we forget that it's there a lot of times. We forget that the enemy is constantly trying to find ways to pull us off course and to take us away from God or distract us. And so, but I want us to today talk about it. Let's be aware of what he's doing. Let's know the strategies that he has so that we recognize it when it comes, and then we know how to protect ourselves from it. So it says in Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." You know, church, we are an army, right? We're God's army. We're equipped to be God's army. And because we're an army, that means each of us are soldiers in this army. And because we are soldiers, we have a responsibility. We have something that God is wanting to accomplish. Like, each of us as individuals and as a whole, that God's given us a purpose of something that we need to accomplish. And we have the tools that God has given us to accomplish it. And it says that there's a war and we have an enemy, right? And in Ephesians 6:12, it says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So our enemy is not each other. You know, sometimes it might feel like people are your enemy, but they're not, I promise. It's the enemy in the spiritual realm that we can't see. And his purpose is to keep us as individuals and as a whole from being ineffective in accomplishing what God's calling us to do. And it says in 1 Peter 5:8-9, it says, "Be alert and sober-minded, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for somebody to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout this world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." So we need to be aware that he's there, and we need to know that we are a part of God's army. And so let's look at the strategies that the enemy has so we can equip ourselves for this battle. Because we want to fight and we want to win, right? And so 2 Corinthians 10:4 says that we have weapons. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So are you equipped for this battle? Let's break down Ephesians 6. It's the last chapter in Ephesians, and it talks about the armor of God. And so I want to just go through the the armor of God real quick, just hit on each point. But before we get to the armor, I love the verse, and we're going to be reading it in the Amplified Version, because I love this first verse, and it's Ephesians 6:10. And it says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him and in the power of his boundless might. The importance of his strength, we have to have his strength in this battle. And I love how it says that we are empowered through our union with him. Our connection to God is what gets us strength. It's not anything that we have to do on our own. But it's so cool that it says that it's our union with him that's going to give us that strength that we need in the battle. Because if you think about it, we have all these tools that God's giving us, but if we don't have the strength to be able to fight in this battle, then we're not going to be able to accomplish anything. So the first thing we need is strength. And the second thing that we need in our is going to be talking about armor to protect ourselves, right? So we're going to be talking about the belt of truth. And it says in the 14th verse, so stand firm and hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth, which is personal integrity and moral courage, around your waist. What God was showing me about the belt of truth, that it's connected to our identity and who we are. You know, the enemy wants to attack who we are in Christ, so that we will no longer be effective for God. Like, if you can imagine a soldier that's in a battle, and then he loses his confidence, he doesn't believe in his abilities that he has to accomplish the battle and the fight, and he begins to kind of be confused on what his purpose is in that battle. Obviously, if that happens, he's going to be very ineffective. And so we need to know who we are in Christ. And, you know, I just want to share a personal story, because this is a real struggle for me. You know, the enemy has come into my life, he tells me lies. Well, he'll tell me things, and I'm sure he's done that with many of you too. And you don't see it as the enemy. I never did. But I would hear things in my head, and not in a crazy way, but, you know, like, just a voice in my head that would say, you know, you're not good enough. You can't do this. You know, all that God is calling you to do, you're not going to be able to accomplish it. It's too big. There's too much. You know, people don't really like you. You know, you are not effective. And just kind of pointing out any weakness. You know, we all have those weaknesses or things we don't like about ourselves, and just making those kind of bigger than anything else in my life. And what it did, it just caused me to want to pull away from people. And nobody even did anything, but it was just that enemy just telling me things that over and over, where I started to believe it. I listened to it, and then I started to believe it. And one day I just opened up to somebody, and I was just like, you know, kind of exposed that part of me that, you know, I didn't want to. But I opened up, and I shared how I was thinking all these things, and they're like, Missy, that's a lie. And what's crazy is, you know, I believed it for so long that for that person to say that, it just kind of made me question, well, maybe it isn't true. Maybe that actually, all these things I've been thinking, maybe it actually isn't true. And then just me kind of opening my mind up to maybe there's something besides just these lies that I'm hearing, that God was able to come in then and show me what it actually was. It was just the enemy trying to get me down, trying to keep me from doing what he wanted me to do. And it was working. I was ineffective. I wasn't able to do anything for Christ because of this insecurity that I was having and thinking that I wasn't good enough. And so it's so important, and I see this for my life, and I hope you do too, that wearing that belt of truth, knowing who we are in Christ, you know, it's not anything of who I am, but who I am in him, and he's created me, and I need to be proud of who I am and who he's created. And so wearing that belt of truth is going to protect us from those lies that the enemy, recognizing it right away and not letting those thoughts come into our minds and sit there. The third one I want to talk about is righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. It says, 14, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is an upright heart. So how does the enemy attack us in this? What I saw as he attacks our purity. I love how Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For they are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. So walk by the Spirit. Keep in step with Him. Let Him lead your life. If you're walking in the flesh, then that means you're letting your mind, your will, and your emotions lead your life and not letting the Spirit lead. And then you're going against what God's trying to do because of that. So just recognizing that in our lives is important. It also says in Psalms 24:3-6, I like this description of righteousness. It says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in His holy presence? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek the face of God of Jacob. So what stood out to me in this second verse was that those who seek Him, those who seek God's face. When we read this, what I conclude is that those whose relationship grows with the Lord will see righteousness follow that relationship. It's important for us to know, like, we can make all these efforts to try to be good and do good, but it's not going to ever be enough. What we've got to recognize is that it's our relationship with Him that's going to bring righteousness into our lives. So, like, us remembering that communion with God will be required in order to stay pure for God. We cannot achieve this on our own. So there's times that we're going to have to take in our life where we slow down and we spend some time with Him, talking with Him, growing that relationship with Him. That's what's going to require our time and our focus. We're going to have to find that time. So for us to wear the breastplate of righteousness requires us to spend time with Him so that righteousness comes from Him. The fourth thing I want to say is the shoes of peace. That's our fourth tool that we have to protect ourselves from the enemy. And it says in verse 15, having strapped on having strapped on your feet with the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. So back then, the shoes that they wore had spikes on the bottom of the shoes. And the reason, one of the reasons for that is that they lived in an area where the ground was very rocky and uneven and even in mountainous, area. So their shoes would help them to walk in these types of areas. And what it makes me think of is that the enemy's strategy when it comes to this is he wants to bring instability to our lives. He wants to keep your mind in a place of worry. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Then what will happen? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, this is just the perfect verse that brings light that if we're worrying, then we're just not bringing our requests, our problems, our situations, we're not bringing them to God and laying them at His feet and letting them and believing that He's got this, because it says that He's going to give us a peace that passes all understanding if we do it. And I find myself doing this so much, where I overthink everything and I worry about even the littlest things in life, and There's one day I was driving in my car, and of course I'm just thinking, okay, how am I going to handle this situation? What am I going to do about this? And I have this list of things going on in my head, and it's just constant, just things. And of course, then I'm not thinking about God. I'm not spending time. This is a great opportunity that I have by myself to spend some time with God. I don't take that opportunity. Instead, I sit there and worry, and I hear this voice, you know, that voice that's like kind of strong and confident, but kind of quiet too. And he said, you know, all you have to do is ask, and I'll be there to help you. And I thought, oh my, that is exactly how easy it is. Like, all we had to do is just ask. And he wants to be there. He wants to help us. It's just us giving him the opportunity to do that in our lives. So how do we put on the shoes of peace? We need to remember that no matter what our obstacle is, no matter how life's instabilities, ups and downs are, that if we just bring him our requests, that peace that God has will get us through anything, no matter what the ground looks like. We'll be able to walk through those areas in our lives. So number 5 is the shield of faith. In verse 16, it says, above all, lift up the protective shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So how does the enemy attack in this area? He brings doubt to our minds with what God has said for our lives. And this will keep us advancing in our relationship with God, because our faith is what's going to advance us in his kingdom. Our faith is what's going to grow our relationship with God. Those big steps that requires faith to make that next big step in our lives. And so the enemy is going to shoot flaming arrows of doubt, of unbelief, and try to get you to go, yeah, maybe I don't want to go forward. Maybe, and just start to question where God's calling you to go. You know, there's many stories that I can use to illustrate this, but I'm going to go way back and tell a story that Jesse has told before, but it'll be the Missy version of it. it was before we were dating, and just kind of how we met, just real quick. He actually grew up in Troy and went to youth group, got saved at Troy First Assembly right down the road, and went to youth group there. And I lived in St. Peter's, St. Charles area, and so our churches did stuff together all the time. Our youth groups did. And so we, all our friends, kind of hung out together. And kind of, I knew who he was. We had talked maybe a couple times, but nothing big. And we were all hanging out in St. Charles. We had this big group of friends. All the girls were going to spend the night at one house, and all the guys were getting ready to leave and go to somebody else's house to spend the night. And then we were going to meet back up with them and hang out with them the next day. And so I'm getting ready to walk in the house with all my friends, and they close the door, and then I look back, and there's Jesse, and all the guys had locked him out of the car, so he couldn't get in the car. So there's this awkward moment where we're both standing there like, okay, this is awkward. And so he kind of came up to me, and he's like, you know, you want to go out, you know? And I'm like, and I knew, like, at this time in my life, just to get you where my mindset was, I had been in church my whole life, but at the age of 16, which is the age that I was when he asked me out, and he was only 15, and I had just, you know, within that last 6 months, had really realized that it wasn't about just going to church and all this stuff. My pastor had preached about it being about having a relationship with God. Like, that's what it's about, not about all the things of church. And so I was like, okay, you know, when he asked me, I was like, man, I really just need to see what God wants me to do in this, because I don't know, you know, I don't know who this guy is or anything, you know. And so I gave him the answer he probably did not want to hear at all. And I said, well, I need to pray about it. And of course, that sounds like a no. And he has to turn around now and face all his friends that are sitting in the car waiting to hear. But I really did. I wanted to pray about it. I wanted to see, what does God want me to do? I don't know what to do in this situation. So that I went into the house and I told myself, okay, I'm going to pray about it. And then when we see them the next day, then I'm going to give him an answer, and he's going to know I was serious. I was really going to pray about it. And so I didn't pray that night, but that morning I knew, okay, I got to find some time to pray. And I went in the basement where I could be by myself, and I was just asked God the question, like, God, what do I do? You know, 16-year-old Missy doesn't know, you know, much in life, right? And just being unsure. And I said, what do you want me to do, God? And I heard this yes in my head, and I thought, okay, well, that might be me, because, you know, I kind of do like him. He is kind of cute, you know. So is that just Missy, you know? God, I really, like, I need to know for sure if this is you, if you really do want me to go out with this guy. And so this song that we had sung in church, it was a hymn. We had sung in our church here and there, and so it started coming into my mind. And I'll just read you the song, because I cannot sing at all. So I'm just going to read the song. It says, this is what popped in my head. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for faith to trust him more. And I thought, okay, that's a good sign, right? That, like, this is what God wants me to do. And I felt confidence in the moment. You know, God's just telling me to trust him. I got this. Just trust me. And so that's what I did, you know, and the rest is history, right? I tell him, okay, yeah, I'm good, let's go out. And from there, you know, we dated a few years, and here we are, you know. But it was a big step of faith in my life. And so what I'm saying is that no matter what it is in your life, you know, how do we carry that shield? We believe in who God says that he is, and what he said that he's going to do, and wherever it is that he calls you to go, you know, believe and do not doubt. And those arrows that the enemy's going to shoot at you, they're going to come, but you're going to have that shield to say, no, it doesn't matter what you're going to shoot at me. I believe where God's calling me to go. The sixth one that I want to talk about is the helmet of salvation. And we just have a couple more here. And take the helmet of salvation, which translate exactly to mean mindset of victory. And so, you know, when I think of victory, what it makes me think of is victory, because basically salvation is the very definition of victory, right? Like, what Jesus has done for us. I love the song that Tim, you know, sung this morning. I mean, what Jesus has done has paid it all. Like, we don't have to live under the weight of sin and death anymore. He has already conquered all of that for our lives. And so if we're living under that, just know that you have the victory. What God's equipped us with is everything that we need to be victorious, to overcome that in our lives. And this is exactly why we do communion regularly at Journey Church. Because 1 Corinthians 11, 24 through 25, when Jesus he's at the Last Supper, basically, with the disciples, and they're doing the first communion together, and Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And it's not just to remember, but it's to know, like, when we remember that we have the victory. Jesus has conquered it all. The battle is already won. So let's keep our minds in that mindset that we have that victory, and that he saved us not to just leave us on our own to figure it out, but that he saved us and he's not going to leave us. And the last one is the sword of the Spirit. And it says in 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So if you notice that this is the only offensive weapon that we have to fight our enemy. So everything else we're wearing is going to be defensive, is protecting us from what the enemy attacks. But the sword of the Spirit is what we have to attack our enemy. So the best example that I saw on this is to look at the temptation of Christ when he was tempted by the enemy. In Luke 4, 1 through 4, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written. So if we look at this, in every temptation that the devil brings to him, in every attack that the devil comes at him with, Jesus starts with, it is written. And so just simply, like, for us to remember that the key to victory is to go to what is written. When the enemy attacks and we're protected, let's go to what is written in God's word. So we need to be trained in God's word. We need to be trained using that sword of the Spirit that we're given. So we need to read it regularly. We need to speak it over our lives. I even believe, like, speaking it out loud, there's so much power to that. Memorize it, sing it, pray it. Let God's words be in and over our lives on a regular basis. And so, you know, I just want to close now with the last verse in this chapter. It's verse 18, and it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So we as a church, we're an army, right? And God wants us to be equipped, and he wants us to win. And we have everything available to us to make that happen. And so I think it's so important right now that we take some time. If you have time this morning, that would be great to spend some time just reflecting on what is it in your life that you're weak, or maybe that you're exposed, or that you haven't used that armor in your life yet. And you need to put that armor on to protect yourself from the enemy so that we can be equipped for what's coming. You know, God's Spirit is coming, and he wants to pour out his Spirit. He wants to do great things in and through our lives and in this church. And I want us to be ready for that. I want all of us together. I know the stronger we are as individuals, the stronger we're going to be together. And so let's just take some time. We can bow our heads here and let's pray. And take that extra few minutes just to reflect on your own life. And if you need prayer, then we would love for you to come forward. We'll have deacons up here that can pray with you. And like if you're, maybe you're like a wounded soldier, right? If you're wounded, then it's really hard to keep fighting the battle. It's really hard to focus on going forward and advancing God's kingdom. And so we want to pray for you. We want to pray for that healing. We want to get you back healthy and whole and ready to fight.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by email at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on the website, www.journeychurchmo.com.